Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Duncan, good pass. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and then 1 Kings chapter 12. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and then 1 Kings chapter 12. This idea this morning, this message, I don't say this very often, but this could be a real pivotal message, this truth, especially for young folks, but it also would give folks understanding on how to deal with people, our attitudes with them, especially when we're dealing with age. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 4. I tell you, this is sadly the biggest problem in America with young people, this thought. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, it says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in purity, in faith, or in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, doctrine. Neglect not the gift that's in thee, which is given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all." Notice that's the example. That's the outcome of verse 12. That's the example. "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Next chapter, this is Paul's advice, Paul's admonition to a young pastor. Rebuke, not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. Okay, now 1 Kings chapter 12. 1 Kings chapter 12. This is a story under the Old Testament covenant. Okay, in 1 Timothy, remember that's Paul writing to Timothy. Timothy, his convert. Timothy becomes a pastor. Timothy, as a young pastor, was told, "Let no man despise thy youth." Of course, you can do anything about that, but being a good example. That's how you try to have people not despise your youth, by being a good example in faith, in purity, in spirit, and so forth and so on. And then he told Timothy, rebuke not an elder. Okay, 1 Kings chapter 12, this is Rehoboam. Okay, if you know the storyline, Solomon was the king of Israel. Okay, all 12 tribes had a vast kingdom. And Rehoboam, his son, is next in line. And some folks are appealing to him, okay, about the high tax structure that's been under Solomon, the bureaucracy. 1 Kings 12, verse 3, they sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, "Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke, which he put upon us, lighter, and we will serve thee." Heavy government regulation. Okay, and he said unto them, "Depart yet for 3 days, then come again to me." And the people departed. Okay, I got to consult my advisors. The king Rehoboam consulted with the old men. Okay, now old men is anybody above 53. Okay, the reason why, because I'm 52. Old, that's the breaking line, okay? Now, for a little fee, I can raise that older, okay? Okay, we got a hand there. Okay, he consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon, his father, while he yet lived, and said, "How do ye advise that I may answer this people?" And they spake unto him, saying, "If thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day." Good advice. You are a public servant. Okay? "If thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and will serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they shall be thy servants forever." But he forsook the counsel of the old men. Now remember, this is Oriental culture, this is standard operating procedure in America. This is unheard of in the Oriental culture. This is absolutely unheard of. Okay, and so he is really doing something against his cultural upbringing. And he forsook the counsel of the old men which they had given him and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, which stood before him, consulted his peers. That's about like a skunk consulting another skunk about his odor. No experience. Consulted his peers. He said unto them, what counsel give ye that we may answer this people who has spoken to me, saying, make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter? And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And now whereas my father did lade you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father hath chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Dumb advice. Ignorant. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day as the king had appointed, saying, come to me again the third day. And the king answered the people roughly and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him. And spake to them after the counsel of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, I will add to your yoke. My father also chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was from the Lord. He's going to split the kingdoms, what he's doing, that he might perform his saying which the Lord spake by Ahijah the Shilonite unto Jeroboam the son of Nebat. Then, so when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, what portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse to your tents, O Israel. Now see to thine own house, David. So Israel departed from under their tents. But as for the children of Israel, which dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. Then King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was over the tribute, and all Israel stoned him with stones, and he died. Tax collector. Killed him. Tired of this tax, tired of this regulations. Kill that guy. No great loss. Therefore, King Rehoboam made speed to get him up to his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. So Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. And it came to pass, when all Israel heard that Jeroboam was come again, that they sent and called him unto the congregation and made him king over all Israel. There was none that followed the house of David but the tribe of Judah only. Lost his kingdom. Why? Followed the advice of his peers. Forsook the advice of the old men. Let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to grasp this great truth. Our culture is pathetic on this idea, just downright pathetic. And Lord, it has bled into the church. And Lord, I pray that we grasp this great truth and understand the Bible way of dealing with people. In Jesus' name, amen. Answer this, several of these questions is, how do you appeal, how does one appeal to the wrongful attitudes or attitude of your authority? What does somebody under authority, what do they do when the one over the authority is not behaving properly? The Bible gives that answer. Okay, how do you properly influence someone older than you? How do you properly do that? To influence somebody towards God, but yet retain your position in life. I began pastoring just 2 months before my 30th birthday. Okay, and I am so glad that I learned this years ago. How do you behave towards someone older than you? Now, when I say older than you, I say one day older than you. Now, the Vietnam culture really takes this to extreme. I'm not saying they're right, but this is how they've done this in their culture. I'll explain a little more about that. What are the consequences of prideful actions of young people toward the elderly? Forsake their counsel. What are the consequences when young people fail to consider the wisdom of the elderly? Remember that this Bible is an Oriental book, right? Is it not? This Bible is an Oriental book written by Jewish people. The Oriental culture has this ingrained in the people, that there's a great respect toward the elderly. Now, an extreme of this has developed into ancestral worship. They respect the elderly so much that they will worship their dead ancestors. An extreme of this idea that's ingrained in the Oriental culture is an emperor worship, where the Japanese will die for their emperor. Now, when I say the Oriental culture, I'm dealing with the brown race, red-brown, yellow-brown, red-brown Indian. Okay, Vietnam, Chinese, Japanese, Korean, Taiwan. Mexican is a cross between the white and the brown race. This is deeply ingrained in the Mexican culture. What is it? It's a respect towards the elderly. In the Vietnam culture, it's such an extreme where if there are twins born, the twin that's born first has an elderly right over the younger twin. And when they exercise that right, the younger will submit to the older. Now, in your Bible, you find this. Remember when Jacob wanted to marry Rachel and Laban refused to give Rachel before the elder? He's not giving the elder away before the younger. Oriental culture. Remember the shocking truth that was told about the twins, Jacob and Esau? The elder, Esau, shall serve the younger. That's a shocking thing for the Oriental race. That's a Bible thing. That's a Bible principle. In the Occidental race, in a white race, generally considered, age is nothing. This is why you'll see young people smart off to older people, cuss them out, things like that. No respect. This is the biggest problem in our culture. What has developed some of this, or what was it encouraged it, is what's known as age-segregated education. Age-segregated education is when it is limited to young people to just know how to influence their peers. You're stuck in first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade. It's the same group. You have limited, their relationship of dealing with people have limited. What does it develop into when it gets about eighth grade, ninth grade? Two girls together. Totally radical. What do you think of Hannah? That's the result of that. Can you imagine a teenager walking up to an adult and her grandma, "Hey, Gran, what's going on?" Gran will look and say, "What's wrong with you? Wow, man. That's how you talk? Got to be a radio program." And no, the radio broadcast is. I mean, that's age segregated. Okay, they have limited their relationship. They can't talk to an adult. They don't know how to converse with a child. This is the advantage of a large family homeschool situation because you have multiple ages in relationships. You can know how to bring your level down to a child. You can know how to talk to an adult normally and naturally and have a good conversation. You see, this is a problem in our culture. Okay, now, I'll give you some thoughts about one's attitude toward your elders. Okay, first off is God has established a chain of command for everyone. Nobody's getting out of this. God has established a chain of command. Even Jesus Christ had a head. Jesus Christ himself, when he became a man, in order to walk in our shoes, he had to go through what we go through. He became a man. Jesus Christ was subject to Joseph and Mary almost to 30 years old. Luke chapter 2, verse 51 and 52, it says that Jesus Christ subjected himself to Mary and Joseph. The creator of the universe subjected himself to his creation. Why? To pay the price for the creation. When Jesus Christ in his ministry in John chapter 5, verse 30, he said, I have come to do the will of my Father. John 5, verse 30, I can of mine own self do nothing as I hear, I judge. My judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Why? Chain of command. Oriental race really understands this. Our race, pathetic. Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, when the Lord was heading to the cross, the great prayer in Gethsemane, he said, not my will, but thine be done. Chain of command. Philippians chapter 2, about the Lord Jesus Christ, he humbled himself and became obedient even unto death. Chain of command. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, it says that God is the head of Christ, Christ is the head of the man, and contrary to what the women feminists hate it, man is the head of the woman. That's the chain of command. Where's the children? Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Children, the child differeth nothing from a servant, but is heir, and will stay under tutors and governors until dad, the father, chooses different. It's a chain of command. The children differ nothing from a servant. They are taught to serve. This is so ingrained in those people in the Judaistic faith that what was the punishment for a child to cuss his parents and to smite his parents? What was the punishment? The death sentence. That's how ingrained that is. Exodus chapter 21, verse 15, when a child cusses his parents, and verse 17, when he smites his parents, or vice versa, or I forget which, right in between that is dealing with a kidnapper. That's the level God views it. When Elisha was made fun of by 42 young people, probably the youth group of the local church or synagogue in the area, when they came along and made fun of Elisha, he cursed them by God, and two she-bear came out and tore them to shreds. Rehoboam lost his kingdom in 1 Kings chapter 12 because he went against what his race had been ingrained in them, and he forsook the counsel of the old men for his peers, for his own mind, his own desires. That's about like a hippopotamus consulting a chicken about how to deal with chapped lips. They don't got lips, my friend. I mean, it's just something to think about. For a young person to cuss his parents or an elder, that is signing your death sentence. That's what it's doing. You're signing your death sentence. For a young person, disregard the wisdom of the elder will cause unnecessary trouble and problems in their life. They will quickly learn that experience is not the greatest teacher. The experience of others is the greatest teacher. They will quickly learn that experience is the hardest teacher. And that's the route the person chooses. That's the route they chose. God has established a chain of command for everyone's life. The second thought is, unfortunately, not all elderly are wise. Sad fact. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 31. Generally speaking, the older a person becomes, the more conservative they become. They talk about someone mellowing out. The reason why they mellow out is because of our experience. This didn't work the way I thought it was going to work. You get more uncertain about things. Proverbs 16, verse 31 says, the hoary head is a crown of glory. The hoary head's a gray head, the gray hair. If it be found in the way of righteousness. Notice if it be found in the way of righteousness. Now this has been ingrained in the European culture, where if you go to court, they put a rug on their head and they think that that makes them smart. It's a gray wig. That's where that thing is. Oh, I stick this on my head and I'm now, you know, I'm smart. You know, you just got a goofy look and a rug on your head and a pretty bad carpet job. Okay, but that's where that custom comes from. You see, one can be young once but immature all their life. You see, now here's the thing about this. God has inspired a way for the inexperienced, the young, to exceed in wisdom and understanding. Psalm 119 is one person who experienced that, where he said, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. The only reason you get more experience is because you've gone to a book that has more experience than any elderly person. You've gone to this book, but you still don't rebuke an elder. You see, now the third thought is I want to give you is this. The wise youth will humbly submit to the elder. The wise child, young child, will humbly submit to the older child. The wise youth is humbly submits to the elder. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Again, the Oriental culture, this is understood. Okay, it's understood. I've noticed in in some cultures where it seems like them little kids, when they're 1 and 2 and 3, they're just utter brats. I mean, scream and yell, and I mean, you just squash them and all that stuff. But somewhere around that age, 4 or 5, somebody gets a stick out. In the Chinese cultures, they put them in them schools, and those kids are not given the pleasures of life. And they have quickly learned that life isn't a bowl of cherries. And what they're doing is they're ingraining in that child. In the Chinese culture, they're ingraining in that child that government is supreme. And that's how they do that. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. Our flesh hates this, and I know it's going through your mind. Your flesh hates this idea. Just despises this idea of subjection. It says, and this is an example of humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. How do you do that? By obeying verse 5. That he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. That casting all your care is placed within the context of submitting to an elder. Why? If the elder's wrong, then you're casting your care of abuse unto your God, who is the supreme elder of all. Now, I've watched this for a long time in our household. We had two dogs for a while, Sebastian and Duke. And that old Duke, he was a pretty spiritual dog, even though the Bible says the dogs are without, you know, there's no hope for him. But even at that, Sebastian was the superior dog. He was the older dog. And when we got Duke, he would follow Sebastian around and just pester Sebastian, and they eventually won him over, and they played and played and played and played. But if we put some chicken bones outside, I know it's supposed to hurt your dog. That's them little puny dogs that get caught in your throat. The big dog's no problem. Okay, so we stick the chicken bones outside one bowl. Duke would not fight Sebastian over the bones. He would sit over in the grass and watch him eat it. And if Sebastian was a pig and ate the whole thing, he walked off with nothing. Sometimes I'd feel bad for him and put two bowls out there. But Sebastian would quick eat his and then go gobble up Duke's, and Duke just walk away. Duke would have whooped on him. He could have beat him. He's big enough to do it. He submitted to Sebastian. When somebody drove in our driveway, our dog Sebastian did the barking. Duke never barked. I didn't know if that dog barked. When Sebastian died, I heard that dog bark. He took the command. He took the place. He did not bark until Sebastian died, as far as when intruder people came in our property. He barks now all the time. I got to tell him, shut up. Okay, but it's a shame that that dog knows more about that than born-again believers. Now, I realize in the animal kingdom, there's a pecking order, and that pecking order is accomplished through violence. Chickens especially. You know, you sit there and watch them chickens, and I see this one chicken get picked on, and I'll take a stick and whack on one of them that's picking on, and they don't learn their lesson. I can't educate the dumb birds. Okay? They just know to stay away from the stick I've got. Okay? But that's how it is in nature. But in life, we're above the animals. The Bible says for the younger to humbly subject or submit is an order by God to the one under authority. He doesn't order the one in authority to make them submit or respect. He orders the ones under authority to submit, subject under that authority, because that's what God expects us and that's what keeps one humble. Wise is the young, wise is the youth who humbly submits to the elder. One is honoring God by honoring your authority. One is dishonoring God by dishonoring your authority. If you talk to the average woman in a Christian church today and ask them, would you blaspheme the word of God? They would say, no, I wouldn't blaspheme the word of God. And what if your husband tells you something you don't agree with? I'll do what I pretty well please. She has just blasphemed the word of God. Titus chapter 2, when she doesn't obey her husband, it's blaspheming the word of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, it says that the servant is to subject himself unto his master. If you're on a job and you are to obey the one over you, if you can't do that, go find another job, because you're a poor testimony if you don't. The best way to witness to your boss is to humbly submit unto them. 1 Timothy 6, verse 1, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. It's blasphemy. So wise is the younger who submits to the older. Now that fourth idea, the honorable youth will honor the elder. Ephesians 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's a humble submission. That's a right thing to do. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land. In the parentheses, this is the first commandment with promise. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to honor everybody older than you. It doesn't mean that. If they're not worthy of it, you just can't rebuke them. Honorable youth honors the elder. To honor, what's that mean? It means to revere, to prize, to esteem with the highest degree, with dignity, to pay public respect to. To regard with great respect. Sarah is an example in 1 Peter chapter 3 as a great woman of faith, and Sarah referred to her husband Abram as Lord. Oh, our culture don't get that, does it? Some of us are old enough to where you remember older folks in the past where they would refer to the husband and wife, they would say Mr. So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so. That's the honor and respect. You see, nowadays that's been lost in many. It's been lost. You see, now, does this mean that it's limited to the good, the submission? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently? This is acceptable with God. When I took the pastor of this church, sitting right down here are my parents. Back here is my brother, 5 years older than I. When I became the pastor of this church, I pulled him aside one time. I said, Ronnie, I am still your kid brother. I am your little stupid brother. I didn't say that, but I reminded him, I am his kid brother. When I come to the farm, I am not your pastor. I am your kid brother. Why? Younger, submit to the elder. See, that's one reason why I got out of farming is because here Dad's number one, Ronnie's number two, I was number three. There's no way I'm going to get above that. No way. No room for a promotion here. You know, he's always going to be 5 years older than me. I can't change that. No, that God got me out of it as he wishes. Okay, but still, the younger submits to the elder. You see, and this, why is this? Why is this a good common sense thing of life? If this is the embodiment of one's experience, this is the experience of an adult, someone who's, you know, been around for a while. That's their experience. That is the experience of the youth. It's not saying they're dumb. They lack experience. Now, if this experience of everything outside of this ball is the unknown, everything outside this ball is the unknown, which one has more of a circumference or a rubbing the shoulder of the unknown? This one or this one? This is why this one has a mindset that they know everything, because of the lack of unknown. And this one realizes they know very little because of all the unknown. Now, for this one to give advice to this one is downright comical. Now, when you get two of these together and they crisscross in their knowledge and experience, and if they're females, did you see that guy? Oh, wasn't he so cute? I mean, there's the problem. Wise is a youth that submits to the one that's got this kind of experience. Now, if this one is going to try to give unsought advice to this one, a gracious one up here will just smile and probably ignore it. But in the Oriental culture, they would say, shut your mouth. Children are meant to be seen, not heard. And they have a right have to say that, but it would be difficult to influence this one with an attitude like that. How does this one influence this one? Paul gave you one example and one way only. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. But be thou an example to the believers in word, in conversation, in faith, in purity, in spirit. That's the only means for this one to influence this one. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. And the elder ladies as a mother. You see, and this is one of the greatest lessons to learn in life. At this moment, you know, I serve with seven deacons. Three of them elder than I. It used to be a little bit more a number than that. But three of them elder than I, and I have great respect. And even if they were wrong, I would never rebuke them. Never. Why? It's against the Bible. It's against Scripture. You have now in some of the churches where a pastor, a young guy, he's got pastoral authority. I'm a pastor, and I'm going to keep that authority. You know, 20 people, you know. And he thinks he's hot snot on a silver platter when he's only cold boogers on a paper plate. And these guys bring this up, and they bring this up, and I think they lack security. They're insecure. And they don't realize that this culture is lacking in it, and they are forfeiting the only biblical way that they can influence an elder. How I've done it for years? Kept my mouth shut around elderly people. Offered no advice, no rebuke. Obviously, preaching is a public rebuke, but this is dealing with a personal dealing with people. Baptist preachers in their insecurity call me pastor. Or doctor so-and-so. I can remember in school, they say, if you, whatever you want, you call your people using your illustration and use your name that you want to be called. Brother so-and-so, you know, pastor so-and-so. I mean, oh, cut it out. Get a life. Now, is not Jesus Christ the Lord of the universe? When people came up to him and said, Master, did he correct them? I'm Lord. And I will demand you call me Lord, pal. Don't give me this Mr. stuff. He let it go. He let it slide. You see? Now, if a person asks what my preferences are, you know, I kind of like preacher probably best, pastor maybe second, brother maybe there, but anything late but late for supper is fine with me. But still, the idea is that in this culture, we have sadly dropped this idea of elder. It's just utterly ridiculous. 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul told Timothy to rebuke not an elder. A few years back, I got to experience this firsthand, where someone about 30 years my superior, been in the ministry for a long time, got a burr under his saddle, got some bad advice, and it was bad advice, and was going to write something and blast me nationwide in his paper. I was given advice to go deal with him and talk to him about this. That's what your glasses are for. Pick your ear anyway. You just don't want to go like that afterwards. And so took a trip down south, you know, and met with this fella. Man, I highly admired and respected, and got chewed out for an hour and a half. Offered no rebuke. Like a little puppy when it gets on his back, ay. That's what I did for an hour and a half. Very difficult thing to do. And walked out of there crying. All I knew is Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Have offered no rebuke to this day and will not rebuke. He's a superior officer in the military. I mean, the Lord's army. Was he right in what he did? Nope. Dead wrong. Would have I done what he did? Nope. Not at all. Would have never done something like that, somebody younger than myself. But that's what he did. I've given that to God years ago, and God has chosen not to intervene. That's God's business. You see why? 1 Timothy 4:5, rebuke not an elder. Now, I've been told that when this gentleman had something like this in the past, he never in the past changed his mind. But he did in this case. Did a 180, at least. Didn't do what he had intentions to do. Hasn't acknowledged me since that day. But that's his choice. I'm not worried about that. Because I serve the Savior, not any man. You see, the idea is, rebuke not an elder. Several years ago, Brother Dale and I was knocking some doors in Rensselaer. And I knocked on his door, and the door came open. I saw an elderly man sitting in the living room, and I said, my name is Dave. He said, Hoffman. And I said, you know me? He said, I listen to you on the radio. And I said, is that good or bad? You know, you got to be watching in case you got a duck or whatever. He said, both. And he started arguing with me, saying, you brag about the Bible too much, meaning the King James Bible. I said, okay. So we had a discussion about it. And then I stopped and I said, sir, you're older man than I am. I'm not going to walk in your house and tell you what to believe. But I said, let me give you one verse and you read it and then you tell me I'm doing wrong. And I turned to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. And it says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. I said, now please tell me I'm doing wrong. He couldn't say I was doing wrong. Why? How do you influence somebody older than you? Entreaty, humbly appeal to them. That's the Bible method. That's what Bible expects. Now, do we have an example of this? What does a young man or a young girl, a young person do to influence an older person for God and truth without overstepping his position or her position in life? Humble example as a servant. That's what he told Timothy. Humble example as a servant. 1 Timothy chapter 4. He repeated it in verse 15. Do we have an example in the Bible? In Daniel chapter 9, there's a young fellow who's taken prisoner of war. Daniel chapter 1, I'm sorry. This young fellow was taken prisoner of war, and he had three friends with him. They were all young men, teenage area. And for some reason, Nebuchadnezzar wanted these guys to be in his new governing position. So he told his Melzah, I want you to brainwash these guys for 3 years. Now, of course, I'm sure he didn't use the word brainwash. He probably said educate. I want you to give him all the knowledge of the Babylonian ways, give him the Babylonian diet, because, of course, you know, that's going to be the best thing for him. Make sure he gets all his immunization shots. Make sure they got everything. In Daniel chapter 1, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Daniel 1 verse 8. He would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested. Notice, he requested. He didn't demand. He requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. What did Daniel understand? He understood that Melzar had a command from the king. Melzar said, do this, this, and this. Daniel said, I don't want to do that and that and that. And I'm going to ask you, Melzar, please, let me have an alternative program here. Let me do something else. But he also understood that if Melzar got caught by the king, his head's coming off. And you know, that's a pretty valuable thing to have. Okay? And so he knew that Melzar was between a rock and a hard place. So it says in verse 9, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of eunuchs. So evidently, Daniel's behavior pleased Melzar. Humbly submitted to him. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee. Notice, begging, pleading, I entreat thee. I beseech thee 10 days, and let me give thee pulse to eat and water to drink. Now, you know the rest of the story. If you read through that, God did intervene. It doesn't guarantee he will, but he might. I mean, I'm sure many of you have seen the old Heidi movies, film, especially with Shirley Temple. How did Shirley Temple win over old grandfather? She won him over by a joyful spirit in innocence, submitting to him. Lost art these days. Do we have an example of this in our Bible? Yes, 1 Peter chapter 2, the greatest example of all, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Wise is the youth who submits to the elder. The honorable youth will honor the elder. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth? Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again? When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. You see, whatever your command of chain of command in your life, wherever it is, ultimately at the top is God. And Jesus committed himself unto God. Now, God may or may not intervene for you and your problems here on earth. He will in eternity and set the record straight. He has intervened for some here on earth. He has not intervened for some here on earth. The choice is his. But still, the idea is this is the Bible method. He committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. So what is one to do? Does that mean that a young person has to honor all older people than them? No, I'm not saying that at all. But one thing you can't do is rebuke them. You see, this is a problem, a terrible problem in our culture. Just absurd. And this is an oriental thing and it's a Bible thing that we need to adopt. Why? Because you learn how to influence people for God and for good in the Bible method. A lot of people are trying to do the Bible method or the Bible approach, or the Bible, trying to attain something that they think the Bible wants them to do, but they're going about it in the wrong method. Honorable youth honors the elder. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us recognize this great truth, and our culture is terribly lacking in this, just terribly lacking. And Lord, this is why the problems we have in our country. Here we got people in charge who have been raised listening to their peers. And what do we get? We get a mess is what we get. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to be people who recognize that younger should submit to the elder. And the elder should be gentle and try to guide and love the younger so that they might please thee. Obviously, the beloved example, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who amazingly submitted to his sinful parents, good people, but sinners, and then submitted to you, the Father, even unto death. With heads bowed and eyes are closed, the piano will play, the altar's open. I can remember somebody gave advice to young pastors that you need to wear glasses, it makes you look older. What a foolish thing. The way a young person influences the elder is by keeping their mouth shut and being a good example. That's the greatest way. That's the Bible way. Now, if one asks you for your help, then voluntarily give it. Our culture is very hurting on this one. Lord, I pray that you'd help people in this country to recognize this great fault of our culture. Lord, I do pray you'd help us here to recognize this and to see the great wisdom of thy words, that we might be faithful to thee, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.